That was awesome. All right, I'm just setting something up because whosever earbuds those words are gone. Once again, it's a special Sunday. And once again, it's not because of the football game. So some of you might not know, but I'm German still. You know, I put an application in to become like you. So if you want to pray for this, I have an interview in a couple weeks. All right, so you know that I'm German. I'm from East Germany, originally. That's where I was born, raised. Every time, man. Every time. Maybe I should do a video next time, you know. Thanks. So, when you grew up in darkness spiritually, well, the buildings weren't that pretty either. You're just excited to see light, and there's light comes with people, people who shine the light. Shine the light of Christ. And when the wall fell, everything came over, right? I mean, everything flooded in. But there's only one truth that stood out, and that's the light of Christ. And if you don't know, most of the time, someone or some people or a group of people like Redmond Ridge Church, who's going up there, bringing light to that place, everybody is going to be impacted by other people. That's how God chose it to be. And by the way, this is my hometown. Most of you might say Leipzig, but it's Leipzig. And if you want to call, there's the area code down here. And for me, that person. Was a missionary from all the way over. He came from here, from this area, and he followed God and his calling, and he started a church in my hometown. And today he's here. So this is Kurt Ibbotson. He flew, please have grace and patience. He speaks very good English, but he has a small accent. I'm just kidding. No, but he just flew in from, to Canada and then drove, 13 hours down to be here and share, what he has been doing. So, welcome.
Thank you.
Let me pray for you, and then this is all yours. Father, we thank you. We love you. Thank you for Kurt to be here, and just pray that you speak through him, just the way you have always done. So, I just pray a special blessing over him right now, that your power will flow through, and that we are open to hear your word. We love you, Jesus, and just be with us. Open our hearts to see what's going on across the world right now. So. We pray all this in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Wow. I don't think anybody's cried for an introduction before. Thank you. That was amazing. I am very, very happy to be here, excited to be here. Stanley has told me over the years just about how you guys have impacted his life. And it's always encouraging when you see someone come to the Lord and then they leave, thanks to Colleen. No. to see how God continues to finish that work that he begins in our lives. And so it's exciting to be here, and I feel really honored to be able to speak here this morning at the place where Stanley's continued to grow and become a man in his faith. So I'm really excited to be here. And I'm just going to share a few minutes about our church. We see you guys are doing a church plant, and that's exciting for me because 17 years ago, yeah, that's what I say too, wow. Didn't think I could get this old. 17 years ago, my wife and I, we left, just the two of us. We were in Seattle, and we flew to Germany. I was actually born in Germany, and I lived there as a child for 8 years, and so that was kind of on my heart. And we went over there. I thought I knew the language and the culture. Moved to East Germany, to Leipzig. Even I get that right now. And we just went there. We didn't really know what we were going to do. We really felt God wanted us to start a church there and to plant a church. And, you know, I'd gone to Bible college. I knew how to plant a church. And looking back, I didn't know how to plant a church. And I have to just say, it's the work of God. If and when churches are planted, it's always God at work. You know, we went out there, and our goal was not to, reach the saved from other churches, but to reach the lost. Leipzig, well, at that time, had 450,000. It's the fastest growing city in Germany right now. It's about 600,000 now. And I would say in Leipzig, 600,000, there's probably 649,000 unsaved people. No way a sec. 500 and, I don't know, there's about 1,000 Christians. My math is as bad as my German. And they need to hear the gospel. And it's so cool just to hear his testimony about the light, because that was our goal. We went there, it was like, we're going to be different in this really dark place. And not only did Leipzig at that time look dark, all the buildings were nasty brown. I mean, every building was brown. And it looked like, we moved there in the winter, all the trees were brown, the houses were brown, they were driving these East German cars that blew out brown smoke out the back. I promise you, it was depressing. My prayer every day was, Lord, let me leave, let me go home. This is awful. Thank the Lord for rain every once in a while here, because it makes it green and colorful. But we decided, no, we're going to stay here, and we're going to be a light. And the first year and a half, we decided we're just going to pray. Just pray for the people that we see. And we would go for walks through different parts of the city, and we just pray. And there's one part of the city that we specifically really prayed for. That's where our church, we didn't know at that time, but God led us to that part of the city. That's where our church is today. And that's where we are being a light, just understanding the culture. Leipzig, it's hard to believe, but people 40 and under don't know that there used to be two parts of Germany. There used to be an East Germany and a West Germany. When I was a kid, everybody knew that, but nobody knows that anymore, unless they're like really old, according to my kids. But Germany used to be divided into two parts, and there was a communist part, which was basically, like Stanley said, closed off from the light, just darkness, no belief in God at all. And that's the part that God called us to. And we realized getting in there that we were starting from zero. People didn't know anything. When Stanley got saved, he was like, wow, I didn't realize that God and Jesus was something else besides something that you told a joke about. That's where people are at. They don't know. And so we went in there, built up friendships. If you know anything about communists, they didn't trust anybody especially the Americans, they were the enemy. And so we had to go in there and just build up friendships and get to know the people. I joined a baseball team. That's where I met Stanley. And God began to use that to allow us to be a light in that city. And we began, knowing that they didn't know anything, we just began teaching, starting at Genesis. We just opened up the Bible every Sunday and Wednesday. We'd get together and we'd read a couple chapters, and I would explain it. And the people were like, "Oh, I never heard of that before." And we just have gone through the Bible now. We're on our second time through, just teaching them the Bible because they don't know anything. And God has used His Word to reach the people who have no knowledge for the gospel. And about a year ago, the Lord called us to leave Leipzig and to move on to Sweden, to Gothenburg, a city there, where we'll probably go about next year sometime, about this time next year, we're planning on heading out there to do another church plant. And when I started the church in Leipzig, I had told the Lord, if this works, I'm never doing it again. Don't tell God things. So that's where we're at. We're in the new stage of going out and planting a church. And so I'm excited to be here, just seeing you guys stepping out and doing a church plant, and it's encouraging. I'm going to show a quick video of 15 years of our church and the things that we've been involved in this year. And there's I don't have time to talk about each thing, otherwise you wouldn't. You don't want to stay here that long and listen to me bore you to death. But we're just a quick video, pictures you can see, and if we can talk about stuff afterwards, if there's anything that you want to talk about. But anyway, so.
I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
So just a little look into what we're doing. Stanley said something about, which is true, the refugee, just really quickly, just sharing. Similar to here, people are really scared in Germany about all the refugees, and we don't have a president promising to take in 100,000. We've got 1.5 million refugees who are in Germany. They just announced that they know of 680 ISIS supporters in Berlin right now that they know of. And so it's a scary situation for everybody. And people are worried. And at that time, you know, when they started flooding in, you know, we had people going out on the streets and protesting and everything else, and really upset about it. And God just put it on my heart and says, wait a sec, you've been praying for years for an open door to the Middle East. Here it is. And so as a church, you know, I said, who cares what we believe politically? They're here. And our goal is not to save the entire world from Islam, but our goal is to save individuals into the kingdom and to bring them to Christ. And so let's go. And so about a year and a half ago, before the huge flood of refugees came, we hooked up with a refugee camp in Leipzig and started just going out there and sharing the gospel with the people there. And it's really cool. They had the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses. They had all kinds of people show up and wanting to work with them, and they've rejected them all. And they said, "But you guys are different. We want you guys to work with us, and we've got a contract." They just asked me this week if I would be able to come and spend one day a week at the refugee camp working alongside of the social workers there, just telling them about, you know, how we're a Christian country and how they can fit into our culture and adapt better. I don't mind telling about what it means to be a Christian. And so God is opening up huge doors in that sense. And so be praying. I've talked to so many of those refugees who've already had visions of Jesus. And so it's a scary place because there's a lot of bad guys, but it's a huge opportunity because God's prepared this. And, you know, we want to walk through that door. So be in prayer for that. When I was asked to come and share, I haven't even paid attention. What time am I supposed to be done by? I know I have like 20 minutes. I've probably taken 20 already. As soon as I'm done. That was dangerous. Ask Stanley. Anyway, I was asked to share today about the ministry, and God just put it on my heart because we're stepping out to plant a church. And I've asked myself, what do I want from our church when we step out and leave? You know, do I want them to say goodbye? It was nice having you here the last 15 years, or do I want expect more? Do I want more? And when I heard that you guys are going through the same thing, I decided, you know what? I'm going to share what God's put on my heart for our church, with you guys. How, and basically it's how to serve, you know, a church plant through prayer. Because I feel that prayer is a huge part of planting a church. We spent the first year and a half just in prayer. And over the years, the people that have blessed us the most are the people who walk up to us and say, we've been praying for it. It's like, well, if you're praying for us, then you really care about us. People who walk up and say, what was your name again? Why, you've blessed me by not remembering my... I mean, you know, people who are praying, who know, who read the prayer letters, they're the ones that are such an encouragement and a blessing. And so I've just looked up in the scripture. If you have your Bibles, you're going to have to turn... My poor church wouldn't know what to do anymore. We have everything beamed up on the walls. But hopefully, I'm kidding. They know how to find the verses in the Bible. But anyway, we're not used to that today. So anyway, there's I'm going to do it really quick, I promise. But there's 10 verses I want to look at that show how we can serve a church through prayer, a church plant. And the first thing is we build a deep relationship with the church. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 14. Let me read it to you. And in their prayers on your behalf, they long for you because of the extraordinary grace that God has shown you. So in you praying for them, they long for you, Paul says in 2 Corinthians. So we build deep relationships with the church that we're praying for. So to the fact that they're desirous of us and they're excited for us. So be in prayer, and I'm excited, you know, next week, prayer walk, you guys have an opportunity to create a deep relationship with the work that's going on down the road. And that brings us right to our second part. You're a part of the work. In Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7, it says, I post watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They should keep praying all day and all night. You who pray to the Lord, don't be silent. Don't allow him to rest. Until he reestablishes Jerusalem, until he makes Jerusalem the pride of his earth. Isaiah is posting watchmen on the wall, not to watch, you know, is the enemy coming so we can, you know, shoot them down before they get to us, but he's saying, just pray day and night. Because they're doing that, they're part of the work of reestablishing Jerusalem, making it God's pride and joy. And of course, church is his body. Of course, you know, it's the body of Christ. And so it is his pride and joy. He loves his church. And if we're praying, we're part of that work that's going on, you know, outside the church plant. So be in prayer. Thirdly, I told you to be fast. You see God answer prayer. Peter was thrown into jail in Acts chapter 12. And we know that in the church, in verse 5, it says, so Peter was kept in prison, but those in the church were earnestly praying to God for him. So the churches got together like, Peter's in jail, and they're praying and praying. And we know the story, how the angel comes and loosens Peter. I don't think there was an earthquake at that time. Maybe there was an earthquake. But anyway, the angel leads him out. And, you know, Peter goes to the house. And he knocks on the door, and the servant girl comes, and she opens the door. It's like, wow, it's Peter. She shuts the door and runs in and says, God answered our prayer. Peter's there. And everyone is like, no, it's not possible. Where is he? I left. I mean, poor guy, you know. He just broke out of jail. And she doesn't even let him in the house. You know, he's standing out in front of the door. So I hope nobody shows up and sees me. And they open, and sure enough, God answered their prayer. God even answered their non-believing prayer. Lord, I pray for that ministry up there. I know it's not going to work out, but I pray for it anyway. God answers it. God answers prayer. They didn't even believe that God could answer their prayer. But God answered their prayer. I know it probably shouldn't be, that's probably theologically really bad what I just said, but it happened. God answers prayer. So be in prayer. It's better to pray with faith, trust me. But be in prayer. Fourthly, you're a refreshment. In Romans chapter 5, verse 30, it says, now I urge you, brothers and sisters, through our Lord Jesus Christ, and through the love of the Spirit, to join fervently with me in prayer to God on my behalf. I want you to join with me for me. Pray that I might be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my ministry in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with the joy and be refreshed in your company. Pray for me. He's ministering, and he's asking the Romans, please pray for me. Because there's people who are disobedient. I know I've never seen disobedience in my church, and probably not here either, but Paul had that experience. I'm kidding. In every church there's people, you teach the gospel week after week, and you're just like, they don't even listen. They don't even get it. And discouragement, especially when you're doing a church plant, it can be really discouraging at times. You know, the first Sunday, everybody's excited, ooh, the new church, and then the second Sunday, it's like, oh, I guess our church isn't as big as I thought it was going to be. And then you talk to the people who are coming, and they're like, yeah, well, in my church, you're like, oh, I guess this isn't their church. They're just here on Sundays. And it can be discouraging. It's exciting for me to be here. You know, our church has grown. We're probably around 70 adults, 100 with children and everything together. But over the years, so many people have come through and come and left, including like Stanley. But they'd be able to come here and see how God's using him here. It's you know, God works, and God continues to work. And a lot of times, we don't see what God's doing. And so you're always an encouragement when you're praying for people, because a lot of times in ministry we just see what's in front of our eyes and we don't realize the things that God is doing. And so be in prayer for the church plant, those who are planting the church, because it's refreshing. It's refreshing. It's refreshing when they get together, they hear, hey, we're praying for you. Fifthly, you help the pastor, the teacher, prepare his sermons in Ephesians 6. I never even saw this verse before, but I was excited when I read this one. It says, with every prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and to this end, be alert with all perseverance and request for all saints. Pray also for me, that I might be given the message when I begin to speak, that I may confidently make known the mystery of the gospel. Not only for the church plant, but be praying for your own pastor. God, help him prepare his message. Help him to be filled with the Spirit. Pray that all times in the Spirit to this end. You know, pray that he'll be filled with the Spirit as he's speaking. Be in prayer. And be in prayer, you know, when you send out a new team to plant a church, you know, it's a part of you. So be in prayer during the week as God lays it on your heart. Lord, prepare that message for this Sunday, that when it's spoken, it's the message that ministers to the people that are there. Into their hearts. Be in prayer. You can actually be helping prepare the sermons of your pastor. So if you're not happy with the message that he picks out and the topics, like, you know, I'm really sick of it. Well, start praying. I think the pastor said amen. You deliver from fiery darts. Sixthly, Philippians 1, verse 19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Going through the armor of God with our kids right now. They love stuff like that. And we just had the fiery darts. You know, that you need the shield to ward off the fiery darts. And this is, you know, he said, pray for my deliverance. And it was just, you know, a reality, just talking to our kids. Satan's out there, and guess what? He's not on our team. You know, he's out there to destroy us. And we need the shield of faith, trusting in God at all times to protect us. And so pray, and this time I'm going to say pray in faith, because we need the shield of faith. That's what's going to ward off the fiery darts. Stand beside him. You know, we talked about with the kids. We talked about the Romans. They had like a whole body armor. They would the shield was like this, and then they had one on top, and they would march like this. You know, in unison, and it was just like this big box coming towards you, and they could shoot and fire whatever, and they hadn't have a chance. But yet, if one guy is, oh, I forgot my shield today, Well, guess where the weak spot would be in the box? You know, the guy who forgot his shield. And so, you know, as this church plant moves forward, as your church moves forward, as my church moves forward, let's be in prayer. And let's not let the enemy have his space to shoot his fiery darts. Because we're delivering one another from Satan. Seventh point, pray for we open doors when we pray. Philippians 1 verse 19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. I think it's the same one, isn't it? Yeah, then let's go down to the seventh one. Colossians 4 verse 3. At the same time, pray for us too, that God may open a door for the message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that God would open a door. I mean, you saw in the video said Turkey outreach. I just went down with three friends from the church. We went down to help out a church there. They're dealing with refugees. They have refugees camped out across the street from their church, thousands of them every day, who leave and get in boats and try to make it to Europe. And they're just a small church of 15 people. And if you want to see Acts chapter 2 lived in a church, allow persecution to come to that church. It's incredible. They just a handful of people, they've all lost their jobs because they became Christians. You know, this guy's like, I'm an engineer, but I clean at a school now. It's like, why? It's like, well, when I became a Christian, they fired me. And now I can only get a menial job that no Muslim wants to do, which it's scary to think about. And so these guys have no job. Some people, you know, I haven't had work for months, or I've been working for months, and my boss just quit paying me, and I have, there's nothing he can do about it because he's a Christian. What are they gonna, nobody's going to stand up for him. And this church, they take care of each other. They're paying this guy's rent so that he, you know, can keep his apartment. They're going out every Saturday to these refugees with sandwiches and diapers and candy, and they're handing it out to these people as they hop on the boat and hopefully make it to Europe. They're praying for, you know, the ones who lose people as the bodies are washed up to shore. And they're living, you know, what, because of through persecution in the church. And it's just, when you see that, you know, they tell about how the police come, they boarded up the church doors and said, there's no church on Sunday. And so they prayed, and they wrote, you know, they texted out to all the churches in Turkey, all 10 of them or whatever, I don't know how many there is, there's not a lot of Christians in Turkey, but they wrote to all their friends that pray for us, they just boarded up our door. And so every church in Turkey that Sunday said, hey, let's pray for the church in Bodrum. They just locked up the doors and they can't have church service. Well, there was some diplomat from Holland who happened to be at an English church in Istanbul that Sunday, and he heard that, and the next day he's speaking with the president or prime minister of Turkey, and he says, what's this about closing the doors in this, you know, one city of a church? The guy's like, what? He's like, if you want to be a part of EU, you want to work with us, you can't be doing stuff. Oh, and the next day the police, you know, unlock the doors and says, you guys are welcome to do that. And not only that, because they got in trouble, it's opened up the door. They can go on the street and do street evangelism. And God's, you know, open up the doors that were closed by people coming together and praying, God, open up doors. Eighthly, let me hurry here. You're not being selfish if you're praying. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us, brothers and sisters, that the Lord's message may spread quickly and be honored, as in fact it was among you. A lot of times, you know, we selfishly say, yeah, the gospel, I heard it, thanks to my parents or thanks to my friends, and I'm saved, and I'm just going to bask in the glow of being saved. But selfish, it's kind of a selfish thing to do. There's what about the thousands, millions of others who haven't heard the gospel? So be praying that others will get saved. And if you're too afraid or not willing to go and share, be praying for those who are going. Be praying for that church plant that's going up there where there's, you know, on the ridge, there's as Stan was saying, if I'm wrong, it's his fault. There's a lot of foreigners Be praying that God opens doors. Somebody's actually going up there to reach them. That's so exciting. Be praying for the churches in Europe that are going out to the refugee camps. Because 95% of the churches are out on the street protesting, saying, we reject these people. We want them out of here. Send them back home. But there's actually people going out there and saying, we're going to share the gospel with these people while they're here. Because it ends so quickly. In Sweden, they're sending back half of them this year. 40,000 people going back home. We don't know how long of opportunity we have. Share the gospel. Be praying for those who have. Ninthly, you put up a hedge of protection from temptation. Hebrews 13, verse 18. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to conduct ourselves rightly in every respect. Paul says, pray that we behave ourselves, that we act in a clear conscience and we act rightly. That the way we speak with women, the way we react when we're mad or discouraged, that is glorifying to the Lord. Everybody's responsible for their own conduct, but understand those who are going out to serve or who are here serving full time, Satan doesn't like that. He wants to fire them with his fiery darts. He wants to destroy them. And the temptations are great. And we have a responsibility to pray. And when we do pray, we're protecting. And lastly, it brings a harvest. In James chapter 5, verse 16. So confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great effectiveness. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And there was no rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed, and the sky gave rain, and the land sprouted with a harvest. James. He's showing the power of prayer. The effectiveness of prayer. And we read of these Old Testament guys like, wow, you know, he was a superhuman. No, James is like, he was a human just like us. He had the exact same ability to pray as you do. He served the exact same God as you and I do. What made him special? He prayed. And that actually shouldn't make him special. He was just normal. He just prayed. And through his prayer, God caused a drought for 3.5 years. But I like this last part where it says that when he prayed again, the sky gave rain and the land sprouted with a harvest. Pray for a harvest. Pray for a harvest on that ridge. Be praying because the prayer of a righteous person has great effectiveness. So be praying that God brings about a harvest. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that you desire to do a great work in this church plant, Lord. And that you want to bring a harvest, that you've called a team out to minister up there, and that you're doing preparing the work. I thank you for the heart of this church here, that they desire to just take a Sunday to just go up there and pray. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just bring out a great number of people excited to just go out there and pray for this church plant. And I pray, and I thank you that prayer does do a great work, that it is effective and it is never in vain. And so, Lord, I pray that you would continue to make us better prayers, Lord, lifting up one another, knowing that it's worth it and that you do great things. And, Lord, I thank you for this. In your name, amen.
Thanks, Kurt, for sharing. BJ and I really feel like one of the things on God's heart for us specifically as a community is helping each of us see what he's doing around the world and that perspective of one body in Christ and, you know, how he's moved through church planting. It was cool that God brought the opportunity for you to be in town right at this time, the week before we go out on our prayer walk, and be able to share from the perspective of somebody on Jerry's side, you know, what he's going to be facing and his team going out in church planting. And then even just to hear some of the stories of the refugees, the hearts and lives that have been changed in Germany now and Sweden. Have you guys started meetings there in Sweden?
No. We'll start next year.
Okay. Yeah. So next year. So right now it's a prayer. And
we're just praying now.
Do you know if there's going to be anybody going from the church in Germany, like a team, or?
We're praying that God will put together a team, but right now it's just our family.
Okay.
But that's so a big prayer request.
Maybe there'll be some people sitting here that decide to join you. If people wanted to continue to kind of get these updates and be praying with you through that next mission that's coming up and supporting you where you're at, do you have like a monthly like prayer email that goes out? Or?
Yeah, we send out a prayer letter, a prayer email.
Okay.
Whenever, it's probably monthly. I don't know. Stanley, you get it. How often is it? Probably, it's too much.
Frequently.
Is it too much?
No, it's not too much.
Okay.
Okay, so
it's not
just
enough.
As you look at expanding and really connecting with different brothers and sisters around the world and what God's doing, if you're interested in receiving that and just continuing to support Kurt in prayer, just fill out a connection card from your bulletin. Drop it in the box in the back and just say, Kurt, prayer, and just give us your email, and then I can get that to him, and they can add you on that. So, and then I really want us to pray for you and Tiffany and your ministry as a church before you go, but I'm just going to kind of wrap things up here, too, and then we'll end with that. This verse has really been on my heart as I've thought about this morning and then looking ahead to the prayer walk as well. It's Matthew chapter 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues. Picture this playing out. Don't just hear the words, but picture this happening. Preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. So he's going throughout the land doing this. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So how did he respond to that? He said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And so we see God calling us to join with him in two different ways. He said, how am I going to respond to this need that I see? Whether it's in Sweden or Germany or the Ridge or here in Duval, ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers out. And then the second part of that involvement is the workers going out. And so as I picture us going and praying on the Ridge next week, I see this river of light. Stanley talked about, you know, Kurt and his team came bringing light. Light comes through people. And I just see these rivers of light going through the streets as we walk next week and pray and ask God. It's the way God, we've seen through all these scriptures, it's the way God wants to move. He wants to involve us. He wants to wait for us to follow and obey what he's called us to do, which is to ask him to send the harvesters and to bring the harvest in. And so I just want to encourage you guys next week to meet here at 9:30. So we're not having the two services, just 9:30 here. We're going to start with worship. Some instruction. There's going to be some kind of team leaders from the Ridge to break us into groups. We'll go up there and we'll have all the instruction from there. We're going to wrap it up at around 11 up on the Ridge. So it's going to be a get out of your seat Sunday and do the work of Jesus. Let the Spirit lead us through that time. I'm just kind of covering all the logistics I need to first so we can end with praying for Kurt here. So that's why you're still standing up here awkwardly. When we do a communion Sunday, we like to emphasize that we do have a care offering that we're taking. That it's just, we're not going to pass that around, but there's a box in the back, And we do some really, really cool things with that care offering. It's money that we can kind of keep separate from just the things that we need to function as a church. It's just money set aside, and it only goes to people who come with a need or that we identify has a need, that we can help them pay their rent or whatever it is, fix a car or get them to that next place that they need to get to if they're stuck financially. And we've seen God really show his character through that. So just remember that box is in the back. I would love to, as a kind of motion towards next week, and like I said, getting out of our seats and mobilizing to see God move in power, I'd like to ask all of us to get out of our seats and kind of gather around Kurt. Everyone's not going to be able to lay their hand on him, you crush him, but just come closer, just a movement. Just have Kurt maybe stand down here. And then is there two people who could raise their hand who feel led to pray for Kurt? You just raised your hand. You don't want to do it? Just two people who feel like, yeah, I'm gonna do that. Can you raise your hand? Okay, Debbie. Debbie's one. Can we have another one? I don't want this to be Jeff always does the prayer for these things. We're all here. Okay, and Star. So, Star, why don't you start, and then you can give it to Debbie.
Holy and awesome God, I thank you for this encouragement of Kurt, Lord, and the legacy that he is already implanted here through a very special part of our body, God. And Lord, I pray that would encourage his heart and his family and his children as they mission together with you. Lord, we pray a refreshing over them. One of the things is to pray for refreshment, and I pray for refreshment for Kurt and his family, for their precious children, for his wife. Speak health over them. I speak vitality. I speak a renewed passion for you. Lord, I speak for friendships for each of them. Special friendships, Lord, that would encourage their hearts, for the kids too, every one of them, Lord. You know what we need. You know what we need. And Lord, we are asking you, O God of the harvest, to meet our personal needs as well. But Lord, as you do that, Lord, we pray that it would just have an incredible ripple effect, Lord, of bringing light and life to all those around, Lord, that you would fill them with that light, that you would go before them, that you would continue to guide them, continue to give them favor, that you would fill them with your spirit, and that the gates of hell could not prevail against your plans, God, for you are great and you are greatly to be praised.
Thank you for that example that you've given us today. And Lord, I am excited.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kurt, for being here. So, yeah, we're dismissed. If you want prayer this morning, please come up front here. Otherwise, head over for fellowship in the fellowship hall there. And have a great Sunday. We'll see you back here at 3:00.